Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a spectacular day. Just like one of those days you're like, man, it was a good one, right? You ever had that? We got a lot to get to today. So I think what happens is when you... What's the most important position in sports, right? The most important position in sports. And I would probably say that in terms of totality, honestly, coaching is more important than any one player. But that's not a position, right? Like you can get away with not having a great point guard. You got to build a team around. You can get away with not having a great center. You can get away with a lot of things. In football, you can hide. If you don't have a great safety, it can get exposed, but you can hide it. You don't have a great pass rush, it's really hard, but you can hide it. You don't have a great running back, you can figure your running back gets hurt, you can figure it out. Wide receiver, hard, but again, you can do it. Quarterback, it's the most important position. On the other hand, there's two elements to a football team. Basketball team's similar in that how is your team constructed, right? A basketball team, if you're built as a, you know, one of the things that people forget about when Kevin Durant joined the Golden State Warriors was that team's makeup had changed in the offseason dramatically. Do you remember when they first won an NBA championship, what their t-shirts were, what their saying was, what their mantra was? It was strength in numbers. Well, Leandro Barbosa had gotten old. Sean Livingston stayed, but he really started to get over the hill. Remember they had Mo Buckets who came off the bench? Like he moved on. You know, they went through their whole bench, which was just dynamic, and they could take Steph Curry out. And they were fourth quarters he didn't play. It didn't matter. They had so many guys, right? And Andre Iguodala played with that second lineup, but he was in his early 30s, right? What happened was when Harrison Barnes was gone, and now you added Kevin Durant, it became a completely different construct of team. LeBron James's teams are built around LeBron. There's one way to play with LeBron. So when he's out, it's very different for them when Steph's out, when Kevin Durant is out, right? When, you know, pick other star player, the teams weren't constructed the same. I was looking at the Colts, and the Colts obviously have some major issues. Colts were a team that many people believe outside shot in the Super Bowl. The issue with the Colts was going to be quarterback. They decided to try and reinvent Carson Wentz, or maybe get Carson Wentz back to the level and the style and the way in which he played and carried himself when he was in Philadelphia before he got hurt and they won the Super Bowl without him. He was an MVP candidate. So I thought what's interesting here is that they also, you know, today we wake up and they lost Quentin Nelson for essentially the same period of time with essentially the same surgery. Like, I almost wondered if they're going to get two for ones, right? Like, hey, you know, the bad news is they lost their star right guard and their quarterback. The good news is that the surgeries, it was buy one, get one free. Like, that's the only positive upside I can think of with the Indianapolis Colts. But I would argue to you that despite the fact quarterback is the most important position, they've been winning without great quarterback play for a couple years now. Right, Jacoby Brissett was not a great quarterback. They moved on from him. They went to Philip Rivers. They won enough with that with Philip Rivers, and they needed a step up in quarterback play and arm strength and whatever. But the team wasn't built around Carson Wentz. The team is built around the offensive line and most notably, Quentin Nelson. Additionally, if you look at the market, no one right now is ever going to give up a star right guard or right tackle, nor are you going to spend a bunch of money to get one of the better guards that's available or draft capital, because Nelson is going to be back by midseason. So too is Wentz. But when you miss that type of dynamic player who you're built around, I could be wrong here, but I think losing Nelson is bigger than losing Wentz, even though I think Wentz has a great shot to rehab his career. I've never heard this before, though, what we heard yesterday. This was interesting. I have friends in the Bears organization, and they were like, we really like Justin Fields. We got the red rifle. Andy Dalton is our starter. And then, you know, last year they tried to go and they swung and they missed at a guy who was, by I think all accounts, a great dude and a Super Bowl MVP, not a great quarterback. His name, of course, is Nick Foles. Take a listen. This is Nick Foles yesterday when he was told about Carson Wentz's injury and the idea of playing for the Colts. Remember, he's a member of the Chicago Bears. Take a listen.
Frank Reich is one of my favorite, if not favorite, coaches of all time. He understands me as a player. He understands me as a person. But, you know, right, I haven't had any talks with him. I don't know. I'm a Chicago Bear right now. He knows me. He understands. I mean, y'all watched the 2017 season in the playoffs where he changed the offense and built it around me, and y'all saw what happened. So he understood my mentality as a player. And he was able to build it around me and put me in a successful position and my teammates. Carson and I have a lot of history. I have a lot of respect for Carson. He's a tremendous player. He's going through adversity once again, but he'll bounce back. And he might miss a few games, but I know he'll be back out there. But we haven't had any talks. So right now I'm a Chicago Bear, and I'm going to keep slinging with these third stringers, and we're going to dice them up.
I mean, could that sound any more like, please come save me? Come save me. I never heard anything like that before. That was a come get me. That was a much classier way of what, who was it? Was it Earl Thomas? Remember Earl Thomas went into the locker room of the Dallas Cowboys that said, come get me? You guys remember that? Yeah, I do. Come get me. That's exactly what was just said by Nick Foles. That was amazing. Save me. Come get me. Please. It's amazing stuff. The problem is, and he's right, Carson Wentz will return. Carson Wentz will be back. But now you lose Quentin Nelson? Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's a big one. A really, really, really big one. So much so that I don't know, in all candor, how easy it is to recover. And if you look at the start of their schedule, the first four games are against playoff teams. They'll be lucky to win a game. And you're like, well, they have a really good defense. They do. They have other good offensive pieces. They do. Good, young, talented running back. They have other pieces out there I like. They've changed. They've added to the wide receiving core. All that's good. You ain't got your team's built around your offensive line, and the best offensive lineman that you have is out for likely 2 months, and your quarterback is out for 2 months. Whew. And the thing about it is it doesn't just affect them. It affects teams in their division, sort of Jacksonville. They'll be better. Couldn't be any worse. Houston, they'll be worse. They'll be bad. But they don't play them early on. And Tennessee, who they do play early on, Tennessee becomes the odds-on favorite to win that division kind of going away. But it affects the AFC. It opens up another playoff spot in the AFC. That's what's happened. Wow.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Charles Robinson will join us momentarily and get his thoughts on Quinn Nelson loss and the Colts. And on this quote from Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers. Of course, he did have a little bit of swag last week when he said, basically, like, yeah, I still call the shots, and we picked up Randall Cobb because Aaron Rodgers wants him. But it was, like, kind of matter of fact, which is the same way he handled this. He was asked about giving Aaron Rodgers the heads up when they drafted Jordan Love. He's like, quite frankly, if that was even a possibility, I would have loved to do that. We didn't go into the draft thinking, hey, we're going to target this or do that. If that was the case, we probably would have done that. But that wasn't the reality. Would that have changed anything? I don't know if Aaron, with the issues he has, if that's really part of it. But a player like Aaron, in a situation like that, you would have loved to give him the heads up. It just wasn't the way this thing transpired. That wasn't a possibility. I think wasn't a... It would have been very... The better part would have been it was very, very difficult to do if you understand how the dynamics of drafting late in the first round work. That would have been fair. Not a possibility? Well, that's not just not true. It's not true. Could you have done it? Yes. As soon as it became, hey, we might be thinking this way, if you have an open relationship, you send him a text, hey, could you call me? Or you have somebody else who he likes or relates to in the room, you talk to him, you know? And look, Brian Gutekunst is saying, like, that basically there's other issues there that you don't know about with Aaron Rodgers. That's what he's saying. And all that's probably true. And I don't think you have to clear things with him or tell him, but you also don't have to insult our intelligence some, because some of this, not a possibility, that's not true either. It does show that there weren't open lines of communication.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Charles Robinson is our guest. Of course, he's got the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast, and he's a senior reporter for the NFL. Charles, how are you?
Doing well, brother. How you doing today?
Good, man. I was at Chargers camp on Saturday. That's not a humble brag. I was standing there with some of their brass. As a matter of fact, with their owner, with a couple of the Spanuses, and they were like, it's great to have the fans back. It feels better. It feels more, the energy is back. Have you been to camps yet?
I've been to five. I've been to five already.
And does it feel back? Does it feel more the way it's supposed to?
If it's close. Yeah, it's definitely close. I mean, you get to, I kicked it off with Dallas. The stands were packed. Like, it felt like past years, you know. I went through Denver, and, you know, Denver set up that you have all these fans that are kind of sitting on the hill, this hill overlooking the practice field. That was full. So it feels about as close as it can be right now. I think, especially for us, because we have to be designated. Oh, are you 2M or are you 3OA or whatever the designation is? You know, you're still going through that process of making sure you're vaccinated inside, or vaccinated, then you're taking your COVID test inside the 14-day window and all the other hoops you got to jump through. Plus, you see players who have masks on. So you're like, okay, now I know that guy's one of the ones that they're griping about not being vaccinated. But, you know, for the most part, I feel like we're definitely closer. But I also think there is a little bit of trepidation about what exactly is going to happen with the Delta variant, and knowing that every stadium across the NFL wants to be full this year.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. It was like there is this push, and it seems to be working to get every or close to every NFL player vaccinated. On the other hand, you can't have those same demands with your fans. You can have some level of demands with it, right? And kind of therein lies the rub. I mean, I get it. It's great leadership for your community when you're like, hey, we're all getting vaccinated, now it's your turn. But it is, I mean, just a fascinating time, to be completely honest. Let me ask you about the Cowboys. How concerning is this Dak Prescott, that the fact that he's got camp arm already?
I probably wouldn't call it camp arm. You know, I think he made the mistake of loading up at one point, you know, when he, you know, probably was still working his way in. So when I saw him, physically, he looked, you know, very mobile. You know, the lower body stuff wasn't a concern at all. I mean, it was clear you could see him getting around without any issues, looked healthy, but, you know, he was inaccurate that day. And I could tell, just you stand there watching me, you're like, yeah, you can tell, like, it's has not been the normal off season where he's been throwing the ball, you know, with the regularity that he would have in a normal off season. And so I kind of figured, okay, well, they're going to have to slowly work him in until they get this chemistry. And literally it was within like a day or 2 days where he had that strained arm. And, you know, talking to somebody there, it definitely sounds like he just loaded up a couple of times and started to feel it a little bit in his arm. I guess I would say you'd rather have it happen now than later in camp. So you do have the opportunity to rest him. I will bet you this rest will go, I mean, I guess it's sort of already gone longer than anybody thought. But when they sat him down, I was like, I will bet you that's a minimum 2 week sit down just to kind of let him, you know, err completely on the side of caution. I don't think it's anything worse than just some typical soreness of a guy who has not thrown in a while and went out there and tried to do too much right away.
They are very, very much a Dallas team. Like, when I think of Dallas, I think of shiny, bright, shiny things, right? And from CeeDee Lamb, who lots of people know they missed on, to Ezekiel Elliott, to, like, you just go down the list, like, but they're going to win or lose based upon the new look defense. How does the new look defense seem to look?
Yeah, I mean, that's a, we'll see, you know. I would say that
that was a deep breath, by the way. That was a Charles Robinson joining us, Yahoo Sports. That was a, we'll see. That's what it felt like to me. That was a deep breath.
I mean, that's accurate, because I don't know where, look, DeMarcus Lawrence is just coming off PUP. Okay, so your number one DN didn't start the camp. Your number one wide receiver and Amari Cooper didn't start the camp. You know, you've got some important guys on PUP. Let's see if those guys can stay healthy. I want to see if DeMarcus Lawrence can stay healthy. I mean, this is, you know, it's been a back issue for him for a while now, and that's not a good thing. And, you know, there are a bunch of other guys who are turning off of, you know, health, like, you know, Tyron Smith, the left tackle, looks amazing. But again, the history of issues that he's had, particularly given, you know, a back issue, you know, you can be in perfect physical shape and yet still have, you know, back issues pop up during a season. Defensively, I sit there and when I watch him, like, all right, you're clearly going to have to get a lot of pass rush from Randy Gregory. Is he going to be eligible the entire season? Like, I see people talking about him being a leader, and I'm like, well, just let the guy go a full season before we start calling him a leader. And, you know, Micah Parsons, you could see when I was there, they were definitely scheming to get him really involved in the pass rush. I think what they're going to do is you're going to see Jalen Smith probably less involved in the pass rush and Micah Parsons more involved. But the kid, Trevon Diggs, the corner who had flashes last year, looked really good at times. To me, he was the one guy who really stood out. He played, I mean, amazing while I was there. Plus, you saw a lot of veteran guys in the defense responding to him, talking to him. He was chirping at the office. He just looks like a leader in year two. That would help a lot if they could get a corner who is a true number one corner, and he may be that.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. The Colts, I mean, this is a weird deal. It's one thing to lose a quarterback to a broken foot. It's another thing to lose a quarterback and a right guard, like, 2 days. But then to lose them to kind of the same injury is weird. You can find a quarterback. I feel like replacing Quentin is more difficult because, well, one, he's arguably the best in the game, and two, right, Nobody's given up any quality offensive linemen at this point in time, no matter what. What does this do to the Colts?
Well, you're not finding a starting guard cheaply, number one, and you're definitely not finding anyone on his level or close to it. As you said, I mean, he's clearly one of the top offensive linemen in the game when he's healthy. Both losses are massive. I mean, the Carson Wentz loss is massive, particularly when you look at the depth chart there. You know, I mean, they pushed all in on Carson Wentz and they expected him to be healthy. And the fact that he's not is just another log on the fire when it comes to, you know, people criticizing his career, whether it's, you know, what he's turned into, the inaccuracy, some of the issues he might have had with Doug Peterson. But I mean, more than anything, the health is what's completely disrupted his career and, you know, hurt the coaching staffs and teams that he's been on. So it's a very, very rough start for Indianapolis. And you know, I it's not easy to replace an all-pro guard, but at the end of the day, when Carson Wentz went down, I don't know how you could have looked at Indianapolis and said, yeah, you know, they're going to be totally fine. No, they're not going to be fine until he comes back. And, oh, by the way, once he comes back, you're looking at, who knows, 2 weeks to work himself in where he needs to be, 4 weeks? I mean, how long before he develops the chemistry and rhythm he would have had working with guys in camp? This is a massive, massive disruption to a team that, you know, clearly had Super Bowl aspirations. And I would say that that's a pretty shaky thought right now when you lose guys like this early.
Okay, so give me the other four camps.
Okay, so I did Dallas. I did the Rams.
Yep, going there tomorrow.
I did Rams, 49ers, Broncos, and I just left Cleveland.
Well, if you did the Rams, why did you do the Chargers?
I had to choose between the Chargers and the 49ers, and I really wanted to get up there to see Trey Lance. So,
okay, what do you think of Trey Lance?
He looked good. I mean, he looked good. I can understand why, you know, Shanahan wants to work him in slowly. You know, he and Jimmy Garoppolo got off to a fast start. By the time I got there, it was a day where you're like, okay, they're throwing into coverage, they're overthrowing guys. Like, you can kind of see it's going to take a while for both these guys to get where they need to be. But, you know, the thing about Trey Lance, I was impressed watching him, but he hit Brandon Ayuk ran like a 25-yard crossing route, and it looked like Elway throwing a ball from the pocket. I mean, that's the kind of rope that Trey Lance threw. And literally, I was like, it felt like practice stopped for a second. And I was like, yeah, that's why. That's why this guy was the pick. Because when he set up and did that, no matter, Garoppolo could have the most perfect conditions in the world and never throw a pass like that. And, but, you know, I talked pretty extensively with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan about it. And they swear up and down that, look, they want to start Jimmy as long as they possibly can, and they feel like the true benefit of having Jimmy on the roster, and right now they're keeping him on the roster, is being able to start him and not rush Trey Lance. So in my mind, I want to believe Kyle that he's not going to have an itchy trigger finger and try to switch this really quick to Lance, but you and I both know Kyle is somewhat impatient when it comes to the struggles of a quarterback. So I think if Jimmy struggles at all, you're going to see Trey Lance pretty quickly.
Yeah. And of course, there's teams that are very needy for a quarterback, like the Denver Broncos. Do they start the season with the quarterbacks that they have?
Unless it's Deshaun Watson, I say yes. You know, when I went in, I kind of watched a little bit, and it was funny because, you know, I see George Payton as a GM, and I'm like, you know, Bridgewater's your starter. I'm like, that guy's clearly going to be your starter. He's consistent. Drew Lock's got the splash stuff, but he's inconsistent. Then Bridgewater went out and threw three picks in practice. I'm like, of course, after I tell the GM Bridgewater's his guy. You know, they're going to be figuring this out all season. They really are. I mean, it's Bridgewater's, you know, look, he's mostly a 10 yards and in kind of passer. You're not going to see him push it downfield a ton. Whereas Lock's the opposite. He'll push it downfield, but he'll throw into, you know, coverage, make mistakes. He's very inconsistent. So to me, I looked at him like, this is a team that looks like it's going to be in the quarterback market again when the 2022 offseason rolls around. Maybe that's where Aaron Rodgers finally factors in for them. But I truly think that it's going to be them swapping out these two and trying to make it through the season the best they can. Now, I'm telling you, though, if Deshaun Watson gets moved and the Houston Texans are willing to play with the price and try to figure out a way to arrange any compensation so that there's some protections built in, I think the Broncos are going to be one of these teams out there, and there could be a handful that will be very, very interested in going after Watson, as long as there's some protection in case down the line Watson gets suspended for half a season or a full season or whatever.
Yeah, how can you trade for him when all that stuff is still pending?
You need the protections. You know, I had a GM actually, you know, just talking to him in the midst of the trip, and we were kind of talking about Watson. He knows I'm from Houston. He was asking me, you know, what's going on there. And he proposed what I thought was pretty smart. He said, look, just if you're going to do a deal, okay, if it's three firsts, let's say you just settle on three firsts, forget these extra two players or anything else. Three firsts is a lot. If you're an acquiring team, you look at the Texans, you say, here's the deal. if he gets suspended after this for 8 games, one of those firsts becomes a second round pick. If he gets suspended for a full season, 2 of those first round picks become second round picks. Like, you just have to build in protections that make a trade partner feel better about the risk they're going to be taking with Deshaun Watson. And I think he's right. I think that's how this gets resolved before the start of the regular season. Otherwise, if Houston's just sticking to straight, you know, hey, we want 3 high picks and 2 starting caliber players, that's just not out there. It's not.
Yeah, but the problem with the idea, if he's suspended, if he's not suspended, it's not going to be a great pick, because it's still going to, at least for this year, and for future years, because he's a good player, right? I mean, therein lies the rub?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's part of the problem, but you know what? They could have traded him they could have made a move in January, okay? They could have made a move in February. Like, Carolina would have given up a monstrous deal in January or February for Deshaun Watson. They didn't do it. They had no clue what else was going on with him in his background. And so this is the price they pay. But NFL teams aren't stupid. They're going to sit there and they're going to stare at Nick Caserio and they're going to go, why are you pretending you're still living in January and February? You're not. That time is over. It's gone. So whatever packages you could have gotten then when you wouldn't pick up the phone, this is now the price you pay for what I think some teams see as arrogance. They were like, the guy was arrogant. He didn't want to listen. He didn't want to pick up the phone, and he wanted to push it and try to force Deshaun Watson to stay. And he didn't know what he was dealing with that was coming down the pipeline with the legal stuff. And, you know, so the situation changes. But no team's going to, unless it's just sheer desperation, no team's throwing out 3 first-round picks and a couple of defensive starters or a couple starting caliber players. And even if they were, ask yourself this. Is that where Deshaun Watson then wants to play? Because he's like, hey, no 3 first-round picks gone and a couple of starters. I don't know if I want to play for a franchise that's that desperate.
Yeah, I mean, Miami and then Philadelphia are the other two teams that are – obviously, Philadelphia's a team that feels like would want to move mountains for them as they try and change things. But
Doug, the Texans do not want to trade him inside the AFC. They do not. Absolutely not. Like, they are – if they trade him inside the AFC, you know they had – Philadelphia was coming to the table with nothing. They couldn't talk Carolina into anything, which, you know, Carolina's, that's really complicated now because they're on the hook for Darnold's 5th-year option next year. I'm just telling you, they will bend over backwards to try and find an NFC partner versus an AFC partner, because they do not want him existing in the AFC. And they also know, if we hand this guy to the Denver Broncos, let's just say for picks, they become a Super Bowl team overnight. If we hand this guy to the Miami Dolphins for just picks, they become a Super Bowl team overnight. They know automatically some of these teams instantaneously become a Super Bowl level team.
Charles Robinson joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Stop me if you've heard this before, but a fight at a training camp, those things happen. Usually they happen, though, when you bring in another team. This was within the Giants. What do you think? What is your personal opinion of the Giants and where Joe Judge stands, kind of 1 year in, especially seen as so many other ex-Patriots, if you will, have failed in his position?
Yeah, I don't, you know, it was funny when Kelvin Benjamin had gotten cut and he came out and he kind of criticized Joe Judge as like having something against him. And then you're like, okay, but you weighed like 260 pounds in minis and you came in heavier than that. And they asked you to cut weight down. And I was kind of laughing with it was a different team. I was talking to a guy about Judge and, you know, he was like, yeah, he's like, you know, most, and I kind of tweeted this. He was like, most coaches don't like you if you show up that overweight and then don't take care of. And that's the thing about Judge is, he's going to be like Bill. He's going to be like Bill O'Brien. Belichick. He's going to be like Bill O'Brien. He's going to be like some of these guys where their personality is very kind of just pretty much straight. Like, they're not going to do a lot of BS. And if you don't do what they expect you to do, they're going to cut you and just basically clap their hands together and go, okay, we're done with that. Moving on. And, you know, I think that's going to rub a lot of players the wrong way. Now, if there's a lack of success in New York, I would say everybody there is in trouble. I think Dave Gettleman's in trouble. I think, you know, Joe Judge is potentially in trouble. But, you know, Judge is, the guys who like him, it kind of reminds me a little bit of, I mean, I hate to keep bringing up Belichick, but it's similar in that the guys who dislike him really dislike him. And the guys who like him think, you know, those who don't are just lazy or not talented enough, you know, to make it under what his expectations are. But, you know, we'll see. I don't know what to make of that team, because I have no clue what Saquon's really going to look like. I don't know if Daniel Jones is.
Any good. Can stop turning the football over?
I honestly don't know. I mean, that's a good way to put it. I don't know if he's any good yet. I have no clue.
Same thing with Darnold, right? Like, how much of it was Darnold, how much of it was the Jets? Because they just had no players and were poorly coached. It's a really, really hard one to tell. Let me ask you real quick. We're going to the Rams camp tomorrow, so I won't tell you. If you have bad things to say, I won't tell you about them. I won't relay that. You saw some Trey Lance wow throws. I was with the Chargers, and again, the same thing. Like, I'd been there before with Phillip Rivers. I hadn't seen the throws that Herbert could make and the move and the movement. And plus, when Justin comes over, he like blocks out the sun. You're like, feels like a Greek god. Right?
Yeah. He's built for it, for sure.
What'd you think of Stafford?
You know, I think what's going to be interesting about Stafford, so I talked to McVay for a while about him and Goff, and it's funny because he goes out of his way to not say anything bad about Goff, but the second he starts talking about Stafford, you listen to him and he will literally go on a 5-minute diatribe of everything Goff wasn't, you know, and he'll talk about, your scheme when you come in and you're scheming differently and it takes a little while for the defenses to catch up, sometimes a year or two. Once that happens as a head coach, you're like, okay, I got to change my scheme. I got to do things differently. And the quarterback's got to come with me. He's got to grow and change with me. And he looks at Stafford as being that type of guy who's capable of any type of growth or change, a guy who's capable of maybe exceeding the power of the coach at times and affecting the offense in his own way. Just all these, he talks about all these things that I think he felt like Goff wasn't at the end. But look, straight up, he thinks Matt Stafford is an MVP level quarterback, like a top five quarterback in the league, that like skill wise, this guy is absolutely a top five staple, and he's going to do that this year. And when Cam Akers went down and everyone said, well, they're going to kick tires and all these running backs, and I went there, they're swearing they're not going to do it. They're talking about the 7th-round pick, Jake Funk, who they think like might be able to factor into picking up a little slack, whatever. I think the reason why they're not doing it is because they seriously think they can lean more on Stafford. I think they think like, hey, okay, so Stafford throws for 6,000 yards this season in a 17-game season. We'll just have to roll like that. I think they believe he can carry this offense in a way that, you know, only the best in the league, Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes and guys like that, can carry an offense. They believe in him that much.
Charles, great stuff, man. Where's your next travels to?
I'm on my way to the Jets, actually, right now.
Oh, the boy band singer who leads them at quarterback. I cannot wait to hear what your thoughts are next week. In the meantime, safe travels. Make sure you save all those receipts. It's the worst part. I'm just sitting here looking at my desk with all these receipts. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
I'm the world's absolute worst with reimbursements. An NFL quarterback on the hot seat is having one of the best training camps ever. Tell you who next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Interesting. Okay. A little bit younger. Interesting move from the Lakers. We'll get to it as we get to the press.
The press.
Dan Byer, what do you got, my man?
Doug, let's start with those Laker moves, because there were a bunch. It started off with the signing of Carmelo Anthony to a one-year deal. Then the team also agreed to terms with Malik Monk, with Kendrick Nunn, and Talon Horton Tucker getting a 3-year deal.
THT! He's dynamite! THT!
Very well
so
done.
So they have this, like, there's a massive age gap, right? You got the old dudes, which is most of them, and then you got, like, Talon Horton Tucker's 20. Kendrick Nunn, I think, is 20. No, not Kendrick Nunn. Malik Monk's 23. Right, there's like no one. The only one in his late 20s is Anthony Davis, who's the oldest 28-year-old ever because he's been injured so much. Interesting, right? Fascinating stuff. I got to tell you, I like the Kendrick Nunn deal. Really, really like it. Really like it.
DeMar DeRozan's going to be going to the Chicago Bulls in a sign-and-trade deal with the San Antonio Spurs.
I really like what the Bulls are doing. I'm not really sure what the Spurs are doing. That would be it.
They're like, Popovich is out of town. Let's let's surprise him when he comes back.
Let's make some moves here.
Some news from the NFL. 49ers GM John Lynch was on the Adam Schefter podcast, saying that Trey Lance, well, did this for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Him being here, I think, has brought the best out of Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy's a big-time competitor. And, you know, we haven't played a game yet, but in practice in the offseason and in practice in training camp thus far, he's playing his best football since he's been here.
Yes.
Oh, there you go, man. This could be a tough decision for the Niners.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's playing great football.
Yes.
You traded the moon, the stars, and the sun to get Trey Lance. You know, they're just trying to. So Jimmy Garoppolo starts for the Texans, starts for the Broncos,
yes!
The Jets. I mean, not the Jets, the Colts.
Yes! Yes!
A lot of options.
A lot of options. They just kind of keep holding. You got to give him like a week or two to get ready. So we got to get past, see if anybody gets hurt. Any more injuries happen before the first couple of after the first couple of preseason games?
I think college football head coaching great Lou Holtz wants to weigh in on this, Doug.
Hey, I'll tell you, I'm getting upset about this thing. I mean it sincerely.
You know, I mean sincerely. This is football. It's the greatest game there is. Great game there is. You know, you put 11 guys in, you put 12 guys in, you get a penalty. You put 11 guys in, now it's the greatest game there is. You put 10 guys, penalty, but it shouldn't be a penalty because you're playing with 10. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I love it. Mike McCarthy not loving Dak Prescott's shoulder issues, saying they're going to take a step back in his return. Not going to play.
Can you give me McCarthy? Can you give me... Give me Green Bay with McCarthy.
After the research and looking at it, we just don't want this to turn into something.
We just don't want this to turn into something that's, you know.
He's a Pittsburgh guy.
He's a Pittsburgh guy, you know. I like Yingling. I like Yingling beer. What do you want from me?
You know, we just don't want to. He talks in like 5-word phrases, and then it's a pause, and then it's another 5 words.
Right? After the research and looking at it, we just don't want this to turn into something big. So it's he's doing everything that he possibly can, and but we're just being.
We're doing everything we possibly can, and everybody's doing what they possibly.
Roger that.
Joe Judge turned into Judge Joe Judge today, making his entire team run wind sprints and do push-ups after a brawl broke out at practice that ended up having quarterback Daniel Jones at the bottom of the pile.
That's bad. That's the opposite of good, kids.
But the players afterwards were kind of happy to see Daniel Jones stick his nose into the to the fracas.
What was the last fight you got into?
Oh, I've never really been in a fight. Maybe ever? Like second grade. No,
because second grade counts.
I definitely would lose, but I'm not winning any fights.
Dan's like, I'm not winning any fights. Not winning.
If you're not a good fighter, the second best thing is to be realistic, and that's what I am.
Yeah. Listen. I don't want to get a fight with you. I would lose. So let's just talk this thing out.
Panthers released JT Ebay today after he dealt a vicious hit to wide receiver Keith Kirkwood during practice. Kirkwood a concussion, but has been released from the hospital. And that's the press.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
Oh, fun day. Tomorrow we'll be at Rams camp, which means we will have Sean McVay. Maybe we'll have Matt Stafford. Should be really fun. They're great folks. We'll be at UC Irvine, and we'll try and contain the excitement of one John Ramos. Until we talk from Rams camp, this is the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.